Do you know the number one most misunderstood passage of the Bible by women is? Not to pick on you women in the congregation, but surprisingly, it's not the line by St. Paul's to the Ephesians. You know the ones that probably your husband uses on you when there's an argument, wives, be submissive to your husbands. No, it's not that one. In fact, as a priest, many people over the years, mostly women, have complained to me about the story of Martha and Mary, most defending Martha with what is taken as an unfair assessment on the part of Jesus. Typical man, always thinking that, you know, not realizing how many things go through the brain of a woman. But just last week, in fact, I was talking to a woman and she told me, "Father, I just don't understand that at all. I will always be a Martha. I am a doer. And I guess to Jesus, that means I'm not as contemplative or prayerful as I should be." Sometimes we think Martha represents those in the church who are actively go out and serve, and Mary as the one who is prayerful, representative of the contemplative nuns, monks, scholars, who stand quietly pondering the things of God. And it is often assumed that Jesus is telling us today that he prefers the contemplative over the active. But I don't think that's the full picture. Instead, look what Jesus says. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Notice, Jesus does not say, "Mary has chosen the right part, and you, Martha, are wrong." No, I think Jesus notices Martha's anxiousness and worry, and he calls her to focus on the fact that listening has to come before acting. It's not that action is bad, but if it's not preceded by listening and contemplating, it can be empty and ineffective. One problem is that we often act without first doing what Mary did, sitting a posture of receptivity at the feet of the Word of God, without attending to the Word of God, without discerning his will. And so sometimes trouble, anxiety, worry always will follow when we forget this first step, that we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. In all the great figures of the Bible and saints throughout history, there is always a moment of listening. What is the Lord saying? And once they know, then they are ready to act in accordance to God's will. What gets us in trouble is we often act without listening first. And so imagine the difference it could have made in Martha's life if her actions had been inspired by prayerful contemplation and listening. Perhaps she wouldn't have been filled with that self-righteous indignation towards her sister or self-pity. If she was authentically praying, which has the ability to change hearts, move us to virtue and holiness, and give us the ability to take upon sacrifice without complaining, out of love for Jesus, it could have changed her disposition altogether. It also gives us focus to our actions because they are inspired, strengthened, and given power by Jesus who directs us. I was recently watching a video of a conversion story of Tim Guenard, and his life would have turned out totally different if it had not been people in his life whose actions were inspired first by listening to the voice of Jesus. In an interview, Tim opens up saying that he had 27 bone fractures, 4 of which were caused by his own father. You see, Tim had been abandoned by his mother. His father was alcoholic and abusive, and he ended up in an orphanage full of anger and violence in his heart. And one of the social workers who looked at his file once said, "What are we going to do with this child? Like father, like son." And he said those words kind of pierced his heart, and they were worse and more brutal than all the beatings that he had from his dad, because he hated his father. He soon escaped from the orphanage, started to live on the streets of Paris, becoming a little mob boss, in and out of prison at a very young age, and his greatest desire was to kill his father. He said, "I will never forget and I will never forgive." And it wasn't until he came before a judge in one of those stints who looked at his file and had a different reaction from the social worker. As she read it, Tim noticed tears running down her face, and as she dried her eyes, she said, "Young man, what is it that you want?" He replied, "Ma'am, nobody has given me a chance. Please give me a chance, and it doesn't matter. I will succeed for you." Looking back, he said, "It was because of her that I became a sculptor." And he said, "When I see a person who isn't well in their heart or in their life, I see them as a block of stone that I often carve. And I say to myself, they can become beautiful. I want to tell them that they are a marvel made by the big boss, a masterpiece, hidden underneath the rough exterior." The judge sent Tim to work with people with disabilities, and one of the boys he met, Vianney, in a wheelchair, once took Tim by the hand and said, "I have to tell you something." And he said, "I don't like it when you hit people." And then he said, "Will you come to visit Jesus with me?" And so Tim responded, "Sure," you know, because he thought he was going to meet a man from Portugal because he had many Portuguese friends who had the name of Jesus. But imagine his surprise when the little boy led him to the Adoration Chapel. And he said, "I didn't think about it because the people that I work with speak of Jesus as if they are like his friend. And so it didn't occur to me that I was going to see the Son of God." And later he said, "God knew me. I didn't know him, but he knew me. And God didn't wait for me to get to know him first before he took care of me. He put all these people in my life and in my path who knew him well, who listened to him. And it was God's fatherly heart that melted and healed the wounds that inflicted by my earthly father. Where would my life be without that judge, without little boy Vianney, who saw me, who listened to me, and then acted with love?" This gospel today gets us to the heart because as Americans, I don't think that we are very much of a listening and contemplative society. Look at all the noise. And that's why we tend to defend Martha. We don't take the time to listen to the person in front of us, let alone those who differ from us politically or religiously, let alone even the person in front of us at the dinner table if it's not blocked by a screen from the phone or the TV. We like people who are busy, active, always working, being productive. We want to get the most out of our employees because of what we pay them. We want to see tangible results. And if someone asks us how we're doing, we often reply about how busy we are, and I do the same thing too. You see, action is great, but action without contemplation, without listening, without asking Jesus what he wants us to do is truly needless and unnecessary. Imagine the judge or Vianney. Imagine what would have happened if they acted first without listening, contemplating, and attending to the living, active word of God, if they didn't know Jesus himself. They might have missed the opportunity to radically change someone else's life, and the fruit of their contemplation was seen visibly in their charitable, loving actions. And so today, then, is not a story about active versus contemplative or choosing one side over the other. It's rather a beautiful reminder that all our actions, if they are to be fruitful, flow from first listening at the feet of Jesus, like Mary, then followed by the actions of Martha. What do you want us to do, Lord? It is in prayer, in Mass, in adoration, where we encounter the answer, the voice of the living Word of God, Jesus, our friend, who removes all worry and anxiety from our hearts and gives purpose and direction to our actions so that they may bear great fruit in the kingdom of God.